told you my city was the best, and my city was a threat to the rest. Cleveland is my city.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Cleveland is our city and we love it, except when it snows like this. Be careful out there on the roads, ladies and gentlemen. But if you need to get a nice fashionable parka, brown, maybe an orange helmet logo on it, you can do that by shopping the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the team shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday. And you can actually see the work being done on First Energy Stadium as we speak when you head down there. Or you can shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Great interview just now. If you missed it, you can get it on the Cleveland Browns app later on or from clevelandbrowns.com later on today with Hall of Fame inductee Andre Reed, good friend of the notorious VICs right to my right. And we had a lot of fun talking to him. So let's talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame, the guys that got in this year, Vic. A pretty solid class.
I think a very solid class. Again, however long it took, nearly 9 hours, I do think they got it right. Yes, some people are always going to feel snubbed about it, are going to be very unhappy about it. And every year, that list is a fairly long list of people who feel that they should have been selected or their supporters felt they should have been selected. But I think when you look at this group and, you know, Michael Strahan, Derek Brooks, these are all solid people that I have no problem seeing their inductions. I'm so happy that Ray Guy got in there. That was the upset to me because I just did not think, having been in that room and knowing those voters quite well and hearing the built-in prejudices against special teamers, especially kickers, saying that they're not players, and then the rules of the game even kind of drifting more in the direction of minimizing, right, the importance of special teams. And then you think about the Bengals kicker who got blown up by the Steeler in that game, and then saying, you know, the reason that was that was a violation of the rule is because the kicker is defenseless. And you know what? When you call somebody defenseless in football, it's not a compliment.
It's not a compliment.
So I thought that would further inhibit or create the problems. But those rules did not exist when you go back to the days of when Ray Guy punted in the league. But Ray Guy, a very special player, and I'm glad he got in.
Three-time Super Bowl champion, seven-time Pro Bowler. The guy was unbelievable. All-pro six straight seasons as the punter. He was the best punter in the league six straight years. I mean, that
and towering kicks. Yeah. His hang time, that was the whole thing. It started with Ray Guy. He redefined the importance of getting air under those punts and allowing your coverage to get down there.
And that's why he was the first punter to ever hit the Louisiana Superdome scoreboard. That's little known fact for you guys there.
Leg guy.
Derek Brooks, Ray Guy, Claude Humphrey, Walter Jones, who I thought was one of the best left tackles in the game for a very long time in Seattle. I was not surprised to see him get in from the NFL's All-Decade Team of the 2000s. Andre Reed, who we just talked to. Michael Strahan, also on the All-Decade Team of the 2000s. And cornerback Aeneas Williams on the All-Decade Team of the 1990s. So this is a pretty solid solid group. Of the people who did not get in, who do you think was the biggest surprise to you, or do you think is most likely to get in the next time around?
Well, let me just insert one thing. Go ahead. I covered all these guys, but Claude Humphrey, first time of covering the NFL, I covered the Philadelphia Eagles, and this was back in the day when Ron Jaworski was their quarterback, Wilbert Montgomery, a coach, he's a coach now. He was the running back at the time. May hear from him soon, possibly in perhaps some Browns garb, and some other people. Cryptic reference to Wilbert Montgomery, but covered those guys. And Claude Humphrey was there as a defensive end. Now, he had made his name and mark mostly with the Atlanta Falcons, but when he got to the Eagles, he was kind of that last. Dick Vermeil liked these veteran pieces to kind of mix in with younger parts and built an overachieving Super Bowl team there. Now they got waxed in the Super Bowl by the Oakland Raiders the one year that they had gotten in during that era. And but Claude was an amazing guy, and Claude was the inventor. Well, he wasn't the inventor, but he had until it finally got outlawed. Claude was big on the head slap move. He loved just whapping offensive linemen in the ear hole and stunning them. And then when they didn't know what to do, he would go around him and make his play. But to,
you can def somebody doing that.
Yeah, it didn't seem to be a big priority with these guys. Now, among guys who didn't get in from this group, I'm going to say Megan Rock's going to do a head slap on Nathan before the show's over. I'm going to say that Tim Brown from that wide receiver group, and I was happy to see, as sad as I was that Andre didn't get in last year, happy that Chris Carter did get in because it broke up what had been a long-standing logjam at the position.
Yep.
So Chris Carter's getting out of that, opened it up for one of the two, Reed or Brown, this year. Fortunately, in my mind, it ended up being Andre Reed who got in. Now I'm happy for Tim Brown because I think with Carter and Reed out of the way, Brown, with his numbers, his accomplishment, is going to should be next in line, and that should happen next year.
Yeah, I think Tim Brown's got to get in there at some point when you think about just the kind of the prolific football player that he was. He's top six in all time in terms of catches, in terms of receptions, I mean receiving yards, and in terms of touchdowns. So that to me says a lot. He had 1,000 yards every single year from 1993 to 2001. That's pretty impressive to me. The other guy who I think needs to be in there.
I know where you're going to go.
Eddie DeBartolo. Eddie DeBartolo.
I thought you were going with another former 49er, but go ahead with Eddie DeBartolo.
Eddie DeBartolo needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Now, here's the
He's
issue.
He's polarizing.
That prevented him from going in this time around, and he is polarizing. You're right. And I've sat in that room where he was discussed, and very much so a polarizing figure. Now, what hurt him, I think, especially this year, is that there is going to be a new procedure next year for contributors. There's going to be like a quote contributors wing created. So guys like Eddie DeBartolo, who don't fall into the category of general manager or coach, okay, who didn't play, will fall into the contributor category as an owner.
Okay.
And I think it will open the door for more owners. I got a feeling he'll be one of the first people to get into that part because the voters will feel more comfortable. Here's the issue. When they sit in that room and they're whittling down that list, you put an Eddie DeBartolo in and you leave out, again, say Andre Reed, or you leave out, say, Derek Brooks, or you leave out somebody who played. And that's a killer for a lot of, you know, that's a hard thing to do, Nathan, when you're sitting over your ballot and it's a pen and paper process. It's not fancy electronic tablets or anything. You're sitting there pen and paper filling these things out, and there is a auditing company that picks up the votes from you when you sit there. You have to put your pen down. It's very procedural. Sit back, and then they walk around the room and grab your ballots. But Eddie DeBartolo, I think, will get his chance once that happens. The guy I thought you were going to bring up was Charles Haley. Okay, because here's a guy. All right.
And I like
Big-time
Charles
contributor
Haley
to the 49ers and Cowboys championship teams.
Correct.
100.5 sacks in his career. Five Super Bowl champ. Only person, I believe, with five rings and with the multiple teams.
And I like Charles Haley.
And I'm sure you do, but he was you talk polarizing and you talk controversial. And this guy did
a little wacky,
amazingly bad things to people, especially reporters in the locker room and teammates. Mike Holmgren had more than a few Haley stories that he shared over lunch in this building with me, because when he was there as offensive coordinator of the 49ers, he would tell me some stories about Haley that I'd say, oh my God. And I heard other former teammates of Haley tell stories that made you say,
wasn't
oh
Irvin
my
telling
God.
Us? Wasn't that a Charles Haley story that Irvin told us?
I believe Michael
phone,
Irvin told us a Charles Haley story for sure.
For
and
sure.
Michael was saying he hoped Irvin or that Haley wouldn't get up and confront
and
him
because
he
sure.
said, I wouldn't know what to do.
He wouldn't accept it. He wouldn't accept his challenge.
Because he not
exactly
only
right.
was he, yeah, he was a big, intimidating, and as you said, maybe not always there. All the toys weren't in the attic.
Another guy that I think numbers-wise is deserving, which is interesting to me, Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, but not first. I didn't think first ballot. And that would have been – I sweated. Look, this was a tough weekend because I'm all
about
Andre getting in.
Of course.
All right? And I'm admitting this. You know, you got a personal attachment to this. I'm putting it out there. When I saw that Marvin Harrison had gotten down to the final list, I said, oh, man. I said, will he get in on first ballot consideration? His numbers would certainly make the case. But fortunately, that lengthy nine-hour.
I know.
It was crazy stuff. 9 hours of discussion. Somewhere along there, someone said, Marvin Harrison can wait. And that's what you do when another guy has been waiting for multiple years. You finally say, this guy can wait because he can get in next year.
Do you think this story about him and the gun and the whatever happened? Is that how much? Because you've been in there.
Yeah.
How much does something that could be considered that big of an off the field blemish weigh against what he accomplished as a football player?
Okay, and this comes up certainly with other people,
yes.
Obviously, because you get into off field stuff.
It's going to come up with Brett Favre.
Your admonition. When you sit in that room, Joe Horgan from the Pro Football Hall of Fame, who does an amazing job of organizing all of this, Pete Fairley working with him, and now we got Dave Baker, the president. But I think it would have been Dave who made this speech, but previously was Steve Perry, the previous president. You get this admonition, stick to football.
What
stick
he did
to accomplishments, stick to the on-the-field thing. Stick to the numbers, stick to the facts, stick to the basics of that. You start getting into behavioral stuff, you start getting into morality.
Right.
Okay, you're going into a place that you, as a judger of football talent, should not go. It's not up to anyone in that room. You just shouldn't go there. Now, are you a human being, and are you influenced by certain things, relationships with people, how they treated people in the locker room? That shouldn't come into reporters and such. That shouldn't come into play either. It shouldn't, but it does. And when I hear people say, "Well, it would be better if former players handle this, former coaches, Hall of Famers just did the voting and get the media right out of it because the media might have access to grind." You don't think other players and coaches and front office people who are in the league have access to grind with other players and coaches and front office people? They're human too. There's no perfect system, Nathan. And I'd like to tell you that's how it's handled. I can speak only for myself and tell you I really have tried to discipline myself to think only about that, to study the packets of the numbers, to listen to what other people say, do my due diligence, spend months talking with people, and come up with what I feel in my mind is the right vote. Because I got to tell you, your head hits the pillow that night after that vote, and you're affected people's lives. And if you can't go to sleep thinking you did the right thing in your voting, it's a tough thing to handle because it's a huge responsibility. You're impactful. Guy like Reed, knowing what he went through, I didn't want to say this. He was at wit's end. He was ready to say, you know what, I don't know if I even want to be in this anymore because it's torture on my family. And that's a hard thing. And I've heard that, other Hall of Famers have gone through this. Harvey Martin wanted out, and then thank God he said he wouldn't accept it, but thank God he did. And me, along with others, talked to the players like Reed and said, let it go, be patient, handle it. It's an honor to be nominated. All right. So I know we want to
find a tangent on that. That's good insight, because I think it is interesting because you have to – and it's good that they come out and say that so that people know what they're up against. It's not left up to each individual person to interpret. This is about what Marvin Harrison did as a football player, period.
It's like
should be.
It's like the judge addressing a jury before they go to deliberate.
Right.
It's a very similar circumstance under much less important situation. But
yes.
All right. So we got more coming up on CBD. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, the Nate Dog, as we like to call him. That is all coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.